This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope, East Hawaii. In his message titled, The Game Plan, Part 2, Pastor Scott continues to speak about how we can develop a successful game plan for our life. This message was recorded on Sunday, January 10th, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year, New Hope. Oh boy, you guys still sleeping, yeah? Shoot. Everybody stand up and stretch your arms, touch your toes. Sorry, I cannot do that anymore. I got to slip my shoes on. But it's good to see you, and Happy New Year. You're still sleeping. Yeah, wake up. We still get coffee, right? Well, you know, here at New Hope, we have so many things going on, things that we do to help you grow, not just old, but to mature in Christ. This morning, we were in our class right up in the other side of the parking lot, and it starts at 8 o'clock if you're free. We're talking about God's assurance. Okay? And one of the questions that was asked is, if you died today, how sure are you that you have eternal life? And it says, put a mark on the line below. It says, not sure, maybe, and absolutely. And the thing we was getting at is, man, because if you're like, maybe, not sure, how would you be able to take this good news and go share it with somebody else if you're unsure of your salvation? And so that's some of the things we've been learning in our classes. And then on Wednesday night, Jaywin talked about our opponent. Who is our opponent? You know, if we know who our opponent is, then we know who to fight against. A lot of times we don't know who our opponent is, so we fight with our spouse, our siblings, right? Our coworkers, because we think they're the opponent, right? When in reality, the opponent is the devil, because he is behind all of that. And if you're not sure, see, these are some of the things that we do so that we can connect with you and we can help each and every one of you grow. So we put these things in place with a plan. I remember when I first got, when I really came to my senses, and it was like Pastor Alex said, 37 years of age is when local boys grow up. Seriously. So if you're a female and you have a male in your life who's under 37 and he's acting childish, you just gotta wait till he hits 37. Because, man, 37, the lights went on, finally. And I decided, like, man, 37 was when I realized, like, shoot, I really need God. Can you imagine? But see, 37 was 3 years less than the Israelites wandered around in the desert, so I got that on them, man. Never take me to, I was 40. So, and 37... the lights finally went on. I finally realized that, man, I cannot do life on my own strength. It just doesn't work. So I committed my life to follow Jesus. And when we was at New Hope Hilo, there was classes. It was like Bible basics and discipleship 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I made a plan that, wow, I was going to go through all of these classes because I really wanted to learn about my new faith in Jesus Christ. I was hungry. You ever get hungry, like so hungry, like you're shaking and you just got to eat? You don't get like that. Man, it's like every day, every couple hours, I was so hungry for the Lord that I was at church on Sunday. I was at church on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think sometimes on Friday, and sometimes even on Saturday, because I just couldn't get enough of Jesus Christ. And I went through these classes. There was a plan for me to grow, because I really wanted to grow. I never planned to start a church. That was God's doing, and me just saying yes, but I was just obedient. But the plan that they had for me to grow was just an incredible plan. I just started with the basics of what the Bible is about. And, you know, we have plans here. We have a plan for you if you're not saved, a plan of salvation. And how does that plan work? Well, we share with you certain scriptures, you know, like Romans. In Romans, you know, the Bible says all have sinned. So if you come across somebody says, "Oh, I'm not a sinner. I never sin." Yeah, any of you run across anybody like that? "Oh, I'm not a sinner. I don't sin." But the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible also says in Romans that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's a plan. And we read these scriptures to you, and it's a road and a plan to salvation, to get saved, to have eternal life, to have an abundant life. And that is the first and basic plan that we have, that you get saved. And then we're planning a baptism on February 21st. You might want to write that day down. It's a Sunday after church. We, instead of bringing your food here, we grab our food and we take it down to Coconut Island, and we pray for good weather, and we baptize people, we eat, and we fellowship. That's the plan. And then after you get saved, you get baptized, we teach you to mature in Christ. And part of being a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe that we become, forgive me for saying this, but it's like a lifelong student. You ever heard of people who've been in college in like the 10-year plan or the 20-year plan? Yeah, I quit after 3 years. It's too long. It's too hard. And I just didn't have the endurance or the will. But following Christ, when we say yes, we become like lifelong students, because I can tell you what, how many of you read the Bible once? And how many of you who read the Bible once say, "Oh, I got it. I know it all. Not even me. I read it 10, 15 times, and I still haven't gotten it all. Every time I read it, it's like, wow, this is new. It's like I read this, but I didn't get this before. But when we say yes to Jesus Christ, I think it's a lifelong process of learning, growing, making mistakes, learning from these mistakes, and moving forward. Amen? In Hebrews 6, it says this: we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope secure, assured. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You know, sometimes when we come and we serve, you know, can get kind of like, man, I'm tired to do this. You know, I've been doing this since 2008, since Easter. And it's so exciting. You know, early on in my life, I would get bored at work. And every like 2 years or so, I would change jobs. Because I would be just like, man, is this it? Could you imagine every 2 years, starting on the bottom, no vacation, no comp time, no seniority. And then when you work your way up a little bit, and you finally get a week vacation, you quit only to start all over again. And, you know, sometimes after following Christ, it can feel like that same way if we don't do what we need to do. You know, up to the age of 37, I had 11 different jobs. You know, I mean, I just would get bored and I would move on. And this job that I have is by far the longest one I had so far that I held. You know, I guess I can look up and I say, thank you, Lord, for not firing me yet. Right? You never know, because God could move you at any time. But I had this job, which really is, I don't know if you call it a job or a calling or ministry, but I had this position twice as long as my longest job that I had. And every year, the ending of the year, I look at my calendar, I look at the upcoming year, I pray, and I try to plan a speaking schedule out so that we know who's speaking when and what we're speaking about. I wish I could be like Pastor Wayne, where he writes his whole sermons out for the year. Could you imagine that? Knowing what God wants you to say next year in December. I was like, man, I'm not there yet. Maybe one day, God willing. But, you know, like I said last week, if we fail to plan, then we plan to fail. You know, we cannot leave our spiritual growth or maturity up to chance. I mean, would you? Some of us right now, how many of you have like a 401k or a retirement? Well, if you don't, you go see Steve or John because they can help you plan that. But yeah, if you do have one, then you're planning for your retirement, because when you retire, you want to have something there. When you die, you want to go to heaven, right? Nobody here anyway, I don't think, does not want to go to heaven. And then when you get to heaven, you want your rewards, right? Full rewards, the Bible talks about. So if the Bible talks about receiving a full rewards, then there may be a partial reward. Or I don't know if there is no reward. So we cannot leave our spiritual growth, our maturity in Christ, up to chance. Would you? I wouldn't want to. Now, if we all have a Bible, and if you don't, we'll gladly supply you with one. But, I mean, look at your Bible. Is it all bent up and dog-eared and scribbled on? Or is it, like, nice and all the pages are, like, perfectly folded, no creases? If it's like that, then maybe you should think about using it. Yeah? I seen Kayla's Bible the other week. We just gave her that Bible. It's like we say, boss up. And she was kind of like shamed that was boss up. And I said, like, no, be shamed. Because if it's boss up, that means you're using it, right? Right? I mean, did you see my truck before it got painted? It was boss up. Why? Because I use it. Your Bible, is it like all new and nice and neat and not used? They say, what was that saying? A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to a life that isn't. Amen? So the thing is, you know, we have a Bible, and if you don't have one, we'll give you one today. But the plan is to use it. Amen? So here it is. Number one, get with the program. Really, get with the program. What program? I never knew there was a program. Well, there is a program, and I'm letting you know today that there is a Bible reading program. You can find that program on newhopeeasthawaii.com. You can even have programs that read it to you. But you can find the reading plan on our table over there. But there's a program that we read through the Bible together. Right now we're in Genesis and Luke, right? And young Jaylee, she was just telling me this morning that she was reading in Luke. And I don't know how old she is, like 8 or 9, 10. So she's telling me, oh, Uncle, I'm reading in Luke now. Oh, you're reading about Luke Skywalker? No, not that Luke. Not Luke, you know, Darth Vader is your father. No, Uncle, I'm reading in Luke. I'm reading about John, he was going to be born, and Mary and Joseph, and then she is 10 years old. And she is with the program. She understands and like, wow. And I can tell you what, it's not because of me, because of her parents. I've seen them crack the whip at her. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know what their parents tell me about her? That Sunday morning, they say, Jaylee, get up. You want to go to church and help me set up? Boom, she's up out of bed, ready to go. Come Monday, Jaylee, get up for school. Oh, she'd rather come to church than go to school. I dig that, man. That's like... So the Bible reading program, the Bible is for us. 2 Timothy. I love this scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture, not half, not some, not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, but all scripture is inspired by God. Not by me, not by you. It's inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Bible is not just a collection of stories or myths, but it is inspired by God. It's written by man, but inspired through the Holy Spirit. The writers wrote from their own personal and historical and cultural context. They used their own minds, their own style, but they wrote what God wanted them to write. Now, the scriptures, they are completely trustworthy and without error. And its words are entirely authoritative for our faith and life. They say the Bible is God-breathed. God's word is alive and relevant. And the more you expose yourself to it, the more it will expose itself to you. See, the thing is, God is love, and God will not love you any less if you don't read your Bible. He's still going to love you the same amount. But wouldn't it be good to get to know a God who invested so much in you. God loves you so much, but he would love for you to grow closer to him. Amen? And God loves you, so he gave you this plan to read so that you would not be deceived. Because the Bible says at the end, in the end times, many will be led astray. Why would people be led astray? Because they don't know any different, any better. Matthew 4:4 says this, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When this was written, Jesus was able to resist all the devil's temptations, not only because he knew the scriptures, but he also obeyed him. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that God's word is a sword to use in spiritual combat. Knowing what the Bible says is an important step in helping us resist our opponent or the devil, because the Bible gives us many scriptures on how to defend against him. In Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." We might have hope. See, when we read the Word of God, the scripture can affect our attitude towards the things that's going on now and towards the future. And the more we know about what God has done in the past, I tell you what, the greater confidence that we can have in living for the future. If we know, when we read the Bible, that when they ask God to show up and deliver, God showed up and he delivered. How much more when you ask God to help you, would you have confidence knowing that God shows up when we ask? We can have the best, most clearest reading plan in all the world. But if there is no plan of action or execution, what good is that plan? Every good plan needs an action step. And if you want your plan for spiritual growth to be effective, then we should look at steps that you can take along the way to see that that plan is carried out to its fullest potential. Amen? Okay, so here it is. Number two, spiritual growth requires discipline and obedience. Discipline and obedience. Not the kind of discipline where you can get cracks. Okay? You know, like how you discipline your children when they're disobedient? You discipline them with the belt or the hanger. But not that kind of discipline. The kind of discipline that you need, like maybe if you're an athlete, you ever played sports and was not disciplined to practice or condition. But we need discipline, because when nobody is watching, it's easy to become complacent and not do the things we know we should be doing, like reading the word and praying. Obedience, because when we read God's word, we need to obey what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. See, when you read the Bible, It's not like any other novel where you read it and you learn something or you get information. But when you read the Bible, it calls you to action. It calls you to do something, not just sit down and, yeah, that was good, and not do nothing. It calls you to action, not to complacency. In reality, I cannot make you read the Bible. I cannot make you obey its commandments. And even if I threatened you, it wouldn't work. You probably threaten me back. You probably say, you're shorter than me, and I'll pound you into the ground. But discipline and obedience work hand in hand, because there will be times, and I can guarantee if you never experienced this before, there will be times when Sunday morning you get up and you feel tired. Like, and it's cold. It was like 61 degrees this morning, and you guys got out of bed. Give yourself a hand. Yeah. You know, there'll be times when you get up and it's like, there'll be times when you get up. John got up yesterday morning. His car didn't start. But his plan was to get to men's ministry. Did he get to men's ministry? You bet. He had a plan. And he wasn't going to let the devil stop his plans. But I can guarantee you that you can justify every reason why you shouldn't be at Wednesday night service, or Sunday morning service, or our Bible class. Because, oh Lord, I just worked 70 hours this week. I am tired. Lord, I woke up this morning and I have sniffles. Oh, I cannot make it. I tell you what, since I made up my mind to serve God, I don't remember a day when I didn't make it to church. I came and I shared my germs with everybody, even when I was sick. I mean, I'm still sick. I was New Year's Eve, I had a scratchy throat, but the plan was to preach God's word, and I did. And then Sunday, same thing. I'm losing my voice now, but that's all right, because the plan is to share the word of God. Amen? 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way not as beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified. Paul tells us that run in such a way. I believe run with a plan. Live your Christian life with a plan, so that you can mature. I mean, you would not want to accept Christ and stay the same. That'd be just a sad waste of a life. Discipline and obedience. When it comes to our spiritual life, discipline to get up in the morning, to pray, to read, to be at church, and obedience to say yes, Lord, to what he asked you to do. Without the proper habits, it'd be hard to move forward and to strive to reach the high calling that of Christ. 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Knowing what God calls us to do is not enough, because I can know what God calls me to do and it can stay there. But we, you and I, must put it into practice. We got to take action. Amen? We cannot read the Bible, know what God tells us, and let it sit there. Matthew 21:28. But what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go work in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterwards, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, "I will, sir," but he didn't go. When I read that scripture, I gotta go, "Well, Scott had two daughters. And he told him, go wash the dishes. One said, no, but went. And the other one said, no, yes, I will, but didn't go." But obedience. Which of the two was obedient? It's not a trick question. When it comes to our spiritual growth, I believe that it's your responsibility to make a plan, to take action. Because I cannot make you grow. As much as I want all of you to grow and mature in Christ, I cannot force it on you, and God would not want me to force it on you. And if I tried to force it on you, I'd be preaching to my family and everybody else would be gone. And you cannot live your spiritual life through your spouse or your children or your pastor. It is yours. You need to take responsibility for your growth. And we have tools to help you. If you need help doing your devotions, let us know. We have life groups who meet at certain times of the day during the week that can help you get into the Word of God. We have our Wednesday night, and our Wednesday night is very unique because the Word is shared, and then time is given that we huddle up in groups of 4 or 5, and we talk about what was just said. We get to ask questions. We get to pray. We get to encourage one another. We have Sunday mornings. If you can get up just a little bit earlier, 8 o'clock, because if your week is too busy and you said, "I cannot sacrifice another night of the week," then come an extra hour early. We have that. We have our men's. We have our women's. We have our young adults, which Pastor Courtney did not define. I was thinking I might qualify. Young adult, maybe immature adult. Yeah. But she never defined what a young adult is. So if you feel young enough, then I guess you can go. Right? Oh, and by the way, February 14th, Sunday, is the start of our basketball league. Yes. So we're going to get Kimo, Grant, and Jaywin, and they're just going to stand like this in front of the basket so nobody can shoot. Even if they cannot play, they're tall. And they can fill up the lane. But we have softball during the summer, volleyball in the fall. We have what we need here to help you grow. Amen? So, what kind of excuses can you come up with? That you're going to come to me 5 years from now and say, "Wow, you never did this, so I couldn't grow." I'll even take you fishing so that you can grow. And we will learn through fishing how to fish for men. Amen? You can put away your notes. I want to ask the worship team to come up. The plan is, okay, the plan is first to get you to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Would you agree? Would you say amen to that? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I would ask that you would pray this prayer with me, because it is the first step in following Christ is saying, yes, Lord, I believe. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? And God bless you over there. God bless you over there. Anybody else? Anybody way in the back that I cannot see? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. All heaven rejoices over those who have said yes to you. And Lord, I pray for them that they would make a plan to grow closer to you, to learn about you, to learn how much you dearly love them, as each of us here, that you died on the cross so that we can have this relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we would not only find a plan, but we would put it into action. We thank you so much. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.